Radio.
All right, DV. So just in case you guys weren't following the news lately, on August the 5th of this year, a federal judge has dismissed a major lawsuit against a defense contractor by veterans and their families over burn pit operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, I know we have a lot of Iraqi and Afghani war veterans listening to the show, and we all had to burn stuff. I think every soldier that I deployed would burn something, whether it was poo, I won't say the S word, I'm trying not to curse, or if it was clothing or, you know, unspent munitions or anything like that, you know, casings. I know I had burnt a couple of, I was field artillery, as everyone knows, so we burnt a couple of the powders that we had too that was left over. But today on the show, we have Greg Lovett. He is the producer and director of the Burn Pits documentary. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so first off, I want to know your background, where you're from, and how did you get involved with this particular issue?
Well, my background is kind of long and detailed. Basically, I'm originally from the States. I live now in Holland. I've lived here for about 25 years, and I've been involved in media and television production for my entire career. And the way I got involved with this documentary was the last 10 or 15 years or so, I kind of got away from production, which is where my roots were, and got more into management. I was running some companies. And about a year ago, I decided I'd really like to get back into production. That's really where my heart is. So what do I want to do? I didn't know. And I actually read a book by Joe Hickman called The Burn Pits. I read a lot of nonfiction anyway, and this was really interesting. And I'd never heard anything about this before. And of course, he goes into a lot of detail in his book about how the military burned garbage on bases in Iraq and Afghanistan. And now, 10 years later, a lot of the soldiers are feeling the health effects of that. And initially, I thought, wow, this would make a great subject for a documentary. Somebody will do this. But then about a year went by, so it's now last summer. And I mean, I never heard of anything. I talked to a few people from his book, some doctors and some soldiers, because I figured those would be the first people that the producer would interview, and they hadn't contacted, they hadn't been in touch with anybody. So I thought, well, I guess I need to make the documentary. So I just started doing some research, and I contacted Joe, the writer of the book. He's in the documentary. He agreed to appear in the documentary. And through him and his book, I came in contact with a lot of the major characters in his book, let's say, a doctor at Vanderbilt University, several sick soldiers, the lawyer who is now handling their case against KBR. And slowly, over a period of about a year, we were able to put this documentary together. Obviously, all this takes place in the U.S. So it was a lot of coordination, setting up interviews, finding local camera teams, etc. And then once all the interviews were collected, trying to gather existing footage, because you mentioned that you were over there and that you burned stuff. But did you record things? Did you take pictures? Probably not.
Nope.
Yeah, exactly. Because at the time, a lot of the soldiers didn't really think about it. Fortunately, some did. So I was able to get some footage of burn pits and some pictures of the actual garbage that was being burned. And then we spent obviously several months editing. And we just finished probably about a month ago. And now the process of trying to sell it, trying to find a distributor, which I actually just did. I partnered with a company in Los Angeles that's going to be representing us and taking the documentary to all the major programming conventions around the world and see if we can sell it.
You see, right now I'm looking at the sneak preview that's on the Burn Pit documentary. You can go to Google and type it in. You can go to Facebook, type in the Burn Pit documentary. It's this page, and it has a sneak preview here. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at the pictures of the, I don't know his name, of the guy with the throat apparatus.
Brian Alvarado. He's out of Long Beach.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, your headline on it, delay, deny, hope you die, how America poisoned its soldiers. I mean, that's just strong. I mean, wow.
Brian is probably the sickest person that we interviewed. Some of the other people in the documentary, that's kind of, I mean, I guess it sort of applies to any disease. A lot of people in the documentary have terminal diseases, but they're lung diseases or they're cancer. So you look at them and they some of them look healthy, but they're actually terminal. Brian is actually not really terminal right now, but he has had cancer. He's had problems with his esophagus, so he's on a feeding tube, so he can't speak. Some people that I wanted to interview actually passed away before I had a chance to interview them. Some of them are too sick. I've spoken to many more soldiers and appeared in the documentary. Some are literally so sick they don't know if they're going to make it the next day. And the whole political issue that is next to their physical issue is the care that they not receive from the VA, the fact that the VA and the government denies that there's any link to their illness and burn pits. Because what happens a lot, I mean, you don't get cancer, for example, in a day. That takes time, sometimes years, to manifest itself. So what happens is you get sick 5 years later, and your doctor, your private doctor, as was the case with Brian, says, this is not a normal kind of cancer. You're too young. You don't smoke. You have had some kind of toxic exposure. Well, he says the only toxins I was exposed to was when I was overseas, but the VA doesn't recognize that. They don't recognize the diagnosis of his private doctor. So he doesn't get certain health care that he needs, and he has to have certain food, for example, and he's fighting for that. So it's just an ongoing struggle for all these guys and girls.
Yeah. Marquis had brought up, you know, the delay, deny, hope you die part. Marquis and I actually were at the same place around the same time in Iraq. And I myself am one of the victims of the burn pit. I actually worked it eight times a week, sometimes more, because I was I worked the DFAT. But, you know, what they don't tell you, what they don't show, stuff like that, you know, like you said, the poisons, the feces, all of that. I mean, we had WAG bags, and yeah, that's sanitary until you throw it into a burning, raging fire. You're inhaling feces. That's it. You're inhaling rotten feces. On top of that, Iraq is a fly infestation if you've never been there. It is nothing but flies galore. You can sit down in the brightest part of Iraq and you will have a million flies on you. They love it at night when the burn pit is smoldering, and that's their warmth. That's where the flies go. And a lot of times we would go down there at night and we'd have to burn it off because it would get so deep and so thick. We'd literally have to burn it off and make it even bigger. And as soon as you threw one flame in there, all those flies came up and they're getting in your mouths, your eyes, stuff like that. And it is horrendous. I mean, there's nothing you can do for it. On top of that, when I got back to the States, I didn't know it, but the entire time, almost, I was in Iraq, I had developed Crohn's disease. Well, the medics done nothing but cover it up with Imodium, said I was depressed, I was stressed, it was homesickness, you know. But I had all these symptoms, but nobody wanted to get me checked out. My CO didn't know about it. My platoon sergeant didn't know about it. My section sergeant didn't know about it, except for what I told them. The medics didn't say nothing to them. I had the test done. Of course, I had Crohn's disease. When I'm almost dying, they find it. A few months later, I'm in the hospital again, and they done another test. I think it was an x-ray, actually. And I've had x-rays on my chest throughout my entire childhood up into my adulthood. And one of the doctors said, you've got scarring tissue on your lungs, and it's from undeveloped lungs. I said, well, that's funny that you're the first one to ever catch that. And we went back and forth and all, and he said, oh, so you were in Iraq? I was like, yeah. And he said, so were you ever around burn pits? I said, yeah, it was an everyday thing, you know. He said, that's a high likelihood that the scarring came from the burn pits. It's black smoke. It's poison, like you said. It's and they knew about it when they told us.
I have a copy of a memo. I show this in the documentary from 2006.
Yes.
In which the somebody from the Air Force actually wrote this memo. And he said that this was the worst environmental site he'd ever seen. And he says in the memo that this is a health hazard.
Yes.
But Central Command just buried that email, never distributed to anybody, and continued to let the soldiers work there. But they knew about it. The lawsuit at the beginning, the company, KBR, Kellogg, Brown & Root, which was a Halliburton subsidiary, they were responsible for managing some of the burn pits, not all of them.
Right.
And I have a copy of the contract that they signed with the Army. And they were supposed to dispose of this waste according to American EPA standards.
Right.
Which basically means you can't burn anything. And so the waste that was thrown in there, plastic, you know, medical garbage. Right. I've heard stories of amputated limbs were thrown in there, computers, other metals. That was all illegal. They weren't allowed to do that.
I'm sorry, Greg. Marquis, if I'm not mistaken, KBR ran the trash stuff in Kuwait, did they not?
Yeah, they would run the trash, but I don't think they really ran the burn pits. But I think they help us set up some of the locations of the burn pits.
Yeah, that's where I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's where I was going with that. If I'm not mistaken, they helped do like dimensional layouts. Like they were the engineers, more or less, of a burn pit in the end. Like,
Greg, did you have an opportunity to interview any KBR personnel?
I did. There is an interview with a man by the name of Rick Lamberth, who worked for KBR over there. And he says in my interview and also in the documentary that he tried to warn his superiors. He tried to remind them, you know, we are doing things not only illegal, according to the clauses in our contract, but also immoral and unhealthy. Oh, you know, this is wrong what we're doing. And he said they basically told him to shut up. You know, you do your job and we're responsible for that. And he was actually threatened by KBR bosses. And he spoke before Congress even several years ago. And, you know, nothing was ever done. And of course, it's now at this point, you know, his word against KBR's, of course. But he tried to come forward, and he says in the documentary that they were derelict. They knew they were derelict, but they knew. Well, this is another thing. KBR has an indemnity clause, so throughout the result of their lawsuits is kind of irrelevant, because even if they are found guilty, they don't have to pay, because the government gave them an indemnity. So if they're found guilty for any money, you guys are going to pay. It's your tax dollars that's going to go and compensate the soldiers. I mean, it matters in the sense that soldiers will be compensated, but it doesn't matter in the sense that KBR will be punished, because the taxpayers will be the one who have to foot the bill anyway. That's because Dick Cheney, when he was vice president under Bush, he used to be CEO of Halliburton, which was the parent company of KBR at that time. So they got a no-bid contract to manage these burn pits, and they got an indemnity clause thrown in because of Dick Cheney.
Wow. Wow.
What a deal, huh? Yeah, so, and Rick Lamberth says that they didn't really care, because they knew there were going to be no penalties, and if they were to get some kind of a fine, they wouldn't have to pay it anyway, but whatever the fine would be way less than they earned over there. So there were just they knew there would be no consequences. So they didn't really care. No, and you talked about how they maybe didn't manage the burning specifically, but they were responsible for the layout. Right. But they didn't do any soil samples before they chose the sites. They didn't do any wind samples, which way is the wind blowing. So several sites, not in Kuwait, but in Iraq, were actually installed on old nuclear or biological weapons facilities that Saddam Hussein managed. Hmm. So the ground was polluted, and then they put a burn pit on top of that, and then put more pollutants on top of that, and then it was burned quite often with jet fuel. Well, JP at jet fuel, which is used, contains benzene, and that's a carcinogen in itself. So it was just a recipe for disaster.
Now, did you hit on anyone from Desert Storm where they had to actually have burn barrels under, you know, basically an outhouse that they had to burn on a daily basis or anything like that as well? Or,
well, I talked to a lot of people. The problem when you make a documentary like this is, you know, you have to edit it down to an hour or so, because obviously people have to watch it and they have to be entertained. Joe goes into a lot more detail in his book, because it's whatever, 300 pages or whatever. He goes into a lot more detail. I talked to a lot of these people, but unfortunately I can't put everybody into the documentary.
Right.
But there's so much. I mean, for example, when I talked to the lawyer who's suing KBR on behalf of the veterans, he told me that this is actually only 25% of his job, is suing KBR for the burn pits. The other 75% of his job is suing KBR for other things that they did wrong. They managed electricity, but they did that incorrectly, and soldiers got electrocuted. They were responsible for water. Water was poisoned. Soldiers died. They were responsible for food. And they just botched everything. So I had to just sort of take a small part of the story But the whole story is just, I mean, it's massive. It's just massive.
Is there a chance that any of that would be like on a special features on a DVD or anything?
It might be. I mean, people are telling me, you know, you should do a documentary about KBR now. So,
well, I mean, that's what I was thinking. I mean, I'm like that lawyer. I know what they've done wrong. I'm not one to sit here and say, oh, I've seen it or anything. But when you hear enough of it, not just from your unit or from the people that you were with, but from those before and those right after, it's kind of a red flag. You know, it's not just hearsay anymore.
No, it's not hearsay. And like I said, I have documents that shows that they knew about it. I have pictures of things that were burned, which, I mean, my reasoning actually is it doesn't really matter what's in the contract. How about just using some common sense? I mean, what do you do with your garbage when you take it out of your garage every week? You don't throw it into your backyard and burn it. Why? Because there's a lot of stuff in there that should not be burned. And you're smart enough to know that it's poisonous for you and your family and your neighbors. So we don't do it. But, you know, unfortunately over there, I don't exactly know. I mean, money is probably an issue. Senator Tom Udall from New Mexico appears in the documentary. He's actually one of the few senators that's working on behalf of the soldiers. He states that they had money for incinerators. It was actually budgeted. If they had put in high temperature incinerators, they would have burned everything into tiny, tiny particles and released it into the air with almost no pollutants whatsoever. And money was allocated. But he doesn't know what happened to that money. He doesn't know where that money went. It wasn't used for incinerators. Well, some incinerators were purchased, but were just left sitting there. And in most cases, there were no incinerators purchased at all. So KBR had the money to do it the right way, but they didn't. And nobody knows, or at least nobody's saying exactly why that is, except perhaps they wanted to put that money in the pocket. Perhaps it would have taken too long to train people. And perhaps they didn't care because they had an indemnification anyway. So if they were caught, there would be no consequences for them. I don't know. But the ones who are paying for it are these men and women who are now sick.
And it's just a lot of information to put out. And I know you have it all in your documentary. I want you to tell people that's listening to the show right now here on Barrage Talk on DVRadio.net, where can they hope to find the DVD in the near future?
Well, we're going to first be doing a cinema release in the U.S. So if they go to the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/burnpitsdocumentary, if they were to like the page or follow the page, then they can keep up with the progress, because I'm in the process now of finalizing the details with the technical company. I have to provide a technical, you know, special digital file, and they've got arrangements with cinemas all over the country, and they will actually distribute the documentary to these cinemas. And what I'm responsible for is I have to go to a city like Denver, for example, and sell a certain number of tickets. I believe the minimum is 100, so that should be doable. And then we can bring the cinema to the documentary to that cinema. So our plan is to actually have sort of a world premiere at the first week in October in LA, because as I said, Brian is from Long Beach, so he's going to come and we'll show the documentary and we'll do like a question and answer session afterwards. We have gotten some press in LA while the documentary was being made from Fox. So hopefully we get some free publicity there. And then after that, in the coming weeks after October, we will roll it out across different cities. So if people go to facebook.com/burnpitsdocumentary, they can follow our progress there, and they can also request certain cities, and then maybe together we can work to bring the documentary there. And then afterwards, it will be available for digital download or digital streaming, and that'll be made known on the Facebook page as well.
I love what you done. I can't wait to see the documentary. Again, that's Burn Pits Documentary on Facebook. We will get that video back up on the page right after this interview. Thank you so much, Greg. Seriously, as soon as it premieres, we'll try to get you back on and get those dates out and places people can get a seat.
Sounds good. I appreciate your help in making this known.
Hey, thank you from the bottom of my heart, and for those brothers and sisters that's having to deal with this BS, because I'll tell you what, it's been one more trip. Thank you, brother.
Okay, thanks a lot. DVRadio.